Instagram is this other weird exchange where you can pay for your posts there too if you want. We just, I mean, give me a break.
That. Yeah, that's
you know, I mean, and people are going on there probably for ass and titties and cocks and balls or whatever, yeah. You know, nice pecs. You know, and we're banned. You can't hear us on Instagram. Yeah. What the fuck's the point? I mean, he looks well. He's looking good. The moisturizer's working.
Okay, yeah,
and me, I mean, for a 56-year-old man, I am holding up. Yeah.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
Okay, go ahead. I'm just excited.
So, listeners, we are thrilled, absolutely thrilled, to have live in the Hey You Know It studio today, Cinema.
Yay!
Hooray!
You guys have heard them because they allowed us to use their music.
Yes.
For the opening and closing.
Right. And they have been with us from the beginning,
yes.
From the very first
they
episode.
They donated music without even knowing what the fuck this was going to be about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. So
that's a risk.
Ev and Paul are here today, and this is such a special treat.
Yeah.
These guys are always playing, always on tour, always busy doing something, and they've carved out a little time for us.
Yeah.
Welcome.
And they bought us some swag. We're looking at an actual album.
And
this is a new album called Man Bites Dog.
Yes.
The Man Bites Dog.
Which you should check
I'm
out.
I'm showing
it's
it
really
to them.
Nice.
It's their own album.
It's
I'm showing it to them.
I might have picked that one up.
I've seen that.
In the bargain.
Please tell us about this new album.
I am particularly interested about this
it's like
cover
a tarot
art.
Card
it is
kind of
the Ten of Swords.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The
yes.
Ten of Swords, which is about, I think it's... No matter how far, it's right after you get the tower card, so you fall to the ground and you think you have nowhere else to go. But
you get stabbed 10 times.
Right. Yeah.
Is that it? So
something like that. Yeah. Well, that is.
There is a story.
Tell us
there
a
is
story.
A story. Yeah. There was a stabbing, and it was vicious.
Yeah.
It happened on the tour, and we didn't see it coming, and we wrote a whole album about it.
Middle of the country.
Maybe you fell 10 times.
There was a slasher. No,
there was a dust bowl or something like that happening.
That Man Bites Dog is the new album. We are very proud of it, and thank you for remarking on the cover and. And being excited about the swag.
Yeah,
it is also our first release that has seen the light of day in full-length LP vinyl. We haven't had a full 12-inch yet.
So this is ready for the remix, people.
This is ready for all the remixes.
Yes. I do it at my own house. I scratch our...
The
B-side. I've done it. Hold the ear, you know, with the finger.
One ear, one finger.
I don't know what that does.
One turntable, no microphone for these guys.
So this record came out... I'm not sure when this will air, but this record came out in April of 2017, about 7 or 8 months ago now. And... It is undoubtedly inspired by the struggles of being an artist, the amount of times that you wind up being dropped from that tower, and then when you hit the ground, there are 10 swords waiting to go into your back and plunge and take the life from you.
You think there's another floor, but there's actually a trap.
Yeah.
Where you just fall down to the sword. That has happened many times.
And then you try to get up, you step on a Lego.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like,
I just love the some of the titles there. Taxi Driver, Mask of the Red Death, Digital Clockwork Orange. So Light Fair.
Yeah.
Bomb Plot.
Yeah.
Shiner number 5.
So I open up my laptop to go to your website and see what's going on, and... just Taxi Driver just blasts out. I mean, I think I had it on low, but it's still like...
there's no low for this
There's
album.
No low.
You can put it down to 1, but it doesn't matter. It's still an 8.
Exactly.
I just started laughing. I'm like, of course.
Yeah, of course. What did you expect?
So what inspired this album?
Let's see. Well, to start with, the title of the album, Man Bites Dog, that is the film that we get our band name from. There's a 1992 Belgian black and white mock documentary, satire, black comedy called Man Bites Dog. It's the exploits of a college film crew following around the main character who is a serial killer.
Yep.
And they're making... Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's, yeah. So they're making
light fare.
Yeah, light fare. The light... It's like salad. Yeah. It's just a light salad, a crouton or
vinaigrette. Vinaigrette. Just light.
It's a vinaigrette.
Two, three ingredients.
It's a little too tart. I don't want it to be too tart on my tongue.
Balance it out with a little sherry.
Just a little sherry.
Sherry vinegar.
That's sweet. It's that's sweet where stuff. I'm at. That's where I'm at. So, anyway, in 1993, that film Man Bites Dog, it was one that I happened to see. I was about 15 at the time, and I fell in love with it. It was really outside. It was really crazy. It was like a fast-moving, foreign, natural-born killers, but minus the Oliver Stone.
Yeah.
And plus all of the kind of indie chutzpah that it kind of takes for artists like you guys, artists
minus
like
the
us.
Budget.
Minus the budget.
Yeah. Yeah.
Otherwise referred to as indie chutzpah.
Yeah.
Making up for no budget.
No budget.
So, yeah, the passion was there in the film, and it kind of stuck with me as a kid. And there's a scene in the film where the main character... kind of devolves into madness slowly, and he starts this improvised chant that goes something like, cinema, cinema, and it's all in French after that, which
that's
I...
Belgians,
I
yeah.
I did learn some of that and actually put it into the song Mask of the Red
Death.
Oh,
it's nuts.
Really?
So there's French speak on there, yeah. There's all sorts.
That's a frog
yeah, the sales à sales, the films on film, what is it, J'attends des gouttes avec mes fautes.
All right,
that's,
all right.
Yeah, I disgust you with my faults.
Yeah, light fare, I'll say.
Yeah, so...
He delivers it well, too. It sounds like he's cursing you out.
Yeah.
I know he's not, because I know what it translates to roughly.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it's but the way the delivery is very...
Yeah, generally,
staccato.
The language is a romance language, but I used it as more of a...
As a weapon.
Taliban-y
yes.
kind of...
Yes.
To really come at people with everything you have.
Yes. So, anyway, in that film, there's a scene where the main character... character goes crazy and he starts to shout cinema, cinema, and it's stuck in my head as a 15-year-old, like, cinema, cinema, that would be a cool name for a band. Oh, and it will be coming from a cool movie no one's ever heard of. And that thought stayed in my brain for like 20 years until my cousin Paul grew up to the point that we could start playing together, and I knew that this would be the band that I was going to do because he was so talented, and it was just time to go for it.
10 years ago.
No.
10 years ago. 10 years ago.
Congratulations.
Next week.
Did you know about this film?
Not before I was in the band, no.
Okay.
No, I didn't.
I've seen this movie, but I never would have put that together.
Yeah.
Now I know what you're talking about. It makes sense.
Yeah,
I always wondered.
Go out and watch it, people, if you have a chance.
It's
highly recommended.
It
so,
gets nuts.
Yeah, yeah, the title of the album comes from the name of the film from which we get the name of the band. So this is kind of a full circle kind of moment. It's our fourth record. It's the first one we've done with... a record label, actually, two record labels helped to release it, one in the UK and one here.
Really?
So it's a little bit of like a joint venture with us and some others. So we're doing our best to get it out there and do what we do, which is play like psychopaths and bring it across the world. And we've brought it already to a bunch of countries this year.
Where have you been?
This year, we've done, let's see, aside from the lovely America, where we did a good handful of states
yeah.
and cities.
Our own
East Coast
country.
Stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. The one that doesn't like us as much.
Yes.
That's how you know you're good.
Yeah, I guess
if
so.
If you go to France and Germany and they like you, that's
yeah.
good.
Yeah. That's,
Japan, even better.
Yeah.
That's on the docket.
Yeah.
That is on the docket.
Working on that.
They like music.
Yeah.
live variety.
Yeah.
Right
instruments.
Exactly. Right after the record came out in April, we did an extensive tour over in Europe where it was a bunch of dates in Germany, Prague, Czech Republic, Budapest.
I bet they loved it.
Oh, yeah. The night in Budapest and Hungary, that was pretty insane. And we had a handful of nights in Austria as well, in Vienna and in Linz. So, yeah, the European tour at the start of things, and being that the label's based over there... that was a really great, great way to kick things off. And then we spent the summer running around doing our customary insanity of every place we can get to in the least amount of time possible. So
in the U.S. or abroad?
It was in the U.S.
Okay, where'd you go?
We've done a bunch of stuff kind of in our... Atlantic seaboard kind of range.
Okay, so the Boston to D.C.
Yeah, the Boston
Portland,
to D.C., the Virginia, you know, like the Massachusetts, the Pennsylvania numerous times, once at Easton, once in Philly, etc. We have a date. We were supposed to do a Pittsfield, Massachusetts date, which
Pittsfield,
we're going to
Mass.
Yeah.
My husband's an asshole.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I feel like they would like you there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, we go well there. So
they like to punch in the air there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
They got that.
It's scrappy. It's tough over there.
Yeah. Unleash the inner.
Yeah, yeah. It comes from within.
Yeah,
and
field.
It goes up through the fists.
Yeah. The fists.
Yeah. I do it. I'm not even a mess.
Hey, sometimes you got to swing.
You got to swing.
You got to swing.
Yeah. And then we kind of entered into a little quiet area around the holidays.
You guys not a big holiday band?
we don't do the
you're not doing the hits.
The holiday circuit doesn't serve us well. We don't jibe with eggnog.
I still say Kwanzaa. There's stuff to do, man. That week between Christmas and New Year's is ripe for a punk band.
I forgot, at the very start of this, we might have been off mic, but we discussed the fact that it's more of a Kwanzaa
theme.
Thing. Cinema.
Cinema.
That's kind of a Kwanzaa thing, right?
For the fifth day of Kwanzaa, we celebrate film and music.
We could.
Why not?
Why not?
As of now, we do. As of now.
There it is.
It's official.
It's happening. It's evolving. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's alive.
It's an evolution.
Kwanzaa's a feeling.
Yeah, it's a feeling. Kwanzaa is a feeling.
You know, there it's just is. A feeling.
It's a feeling that you carry with you on stage.
But you make it.
Yeah. And the inspiration behind the record is, I mean, we're now coming up on 10 years worth of doing this band together, Paul and I, and
so
I think,
cool.
Yeah, I think that, you know, what you learn over that time is kind of priceless. You can't really put a word on, or you can't really put a topic on the different amount of stuff that's happened to us along the way, and it kind of leaves you feeling sometimes like you're fighting back against a world that doesn't really want to accept you for who you are being an artist.
Sounds like an artist.
I think there's a great spirit at the core of this record that's not quite revenge, you know.
But it's upcoming for
you. But it's like, it's like, hey, guess what?
Yeah.
You didn't kill us.
Yeah,
we're still alive.
It's the end of the Transformers movie, part 4, and I'm coming for you.
And you guys are like true artists. You're not the YouTube kind of people that are putting mediocre products out there. And then looking to hit the masses.
Yeah.
You're really...
Yeah.
So this is number 4.
This is number 4.
In 10 years.
All right. Full length. I mean, and one thing that...
Things in between, too.
That's cool. I feel like that's quite a lot, though.
Yeah, there's
4 full lengths, a couple of EPs, and a 7-inch along the way.
Of all original stuff.
For the most part.
One cover.
Yeah,
the
7-inch is the 50-foot Queenie cover.
That's 50-foot
Queenie.
Yeah, but all the original output, the albums all consist of original output. And, I mean, it's been, 10 years...
Doing it yourself.
It was January 2008 when Paul and I started to really get things going.
Yeah, different people back then. Really.
And
totally.
It's just amazing.
I was 18.
Yeah, and I was 29. You know,
you guys still look fresh and young.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's good to know.
I'm trying to grow the beard.
Keep working.
When it's constantly a struggle to fight to just be who you are in this world, I think it kind of keeps you alive and vibrant.
Yeah, and you moisturize.
Moisturize.
I use an apricot scrub every day.
See?
At night. I'm not joking. It's a truth.
And it helps.
Correct.
You know,
I didn't know if it was safe for him to come in there. He's so young.
What kind of things you're talking about, you know, the struggle to stay, you know, true to yourself as an artist. What are some of the things that really you have to overcome recently that were a surprise?
Well, one thing, and you had mentioned how we're kind of like a band's band in that we tour. We aren't necessarily like a online YouTube sensation. One thing that we've kind of gone through has been this
I'm working on my side things. Wait until you see my hairy titties.
I'm not even sure what any of YouTube sensation means.
Oh, exactly.
It could be. I've been saying like just like do like a thing with guacamole. Just like I just feed rub. Feed him guacamole.
He feeds me guacamole.
Or just rub it on his hairy chest.
We realize
that. Get in line for that, because I feel like that's
already out.
You're already intrigued. You perked up.
Yeah.
Guacamole.
Yeah.
Whoa, and feed him, rub it on his chest.
Yeah, there you go.
Baste him with, you know, like a little, like, moisturized
guac. And then maybe a little acoustic in the background.
Yeah. Just calming tones.
Light.
As little music as possible, though.
Yes.
We've realized after 10 years that what we need to extract out of the act is the music. It's the music that's throwing people off.
Yes.
As well as the talents. Any talents.
In this day and age, it's a fight for fame via infamy.
When you're music forward, like you guys are. When you push the music.
Yeah.
And that's not to say, there are plenty of, like, bands that are on YouTube that are good too.
I guess I'm not watching them.
Yeah, it's a different. It's so tough. Like
it's a different thing. No, yeah, we were talking about these people that are out there that are appealing just to the masses, and they a formulaic thing that they're just putting out there so they can get the attention.
There's bands that have never even been on a stage that are more famous than
we might ever be
of the platform of YouTube.
But you don't have that face-to-face piece.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, you don't.
So what is it that keeps you guys like touring and go like...
One of the main things is that when I first started playing music and got into playing music, it didn't have any correlation to being an internet sensation in some way. I got into music to emote, to express myself, to communicate. I didn't get into it for the likes and little hearts and little whatever. That the advent of that culture has sprung up around us over the last 10 or 15 years or 10 or 15 minutes.
And
I'm not sure.
Culture poised to implode, right?
Yeah. There is no real growth.
It's coming.
Yeah, there is no real growth.
Because I was talking to my cousin who's like 14, 15, and I was telling her, like, oh, friend me on Facebook. Like, you don't see your cousin for a while, and then, like, all of a sudden you see them at Christmas. Like, what are you, 9?
Yeah.
I'm in high school.
Here.
Yeah.
I drove here.
So I'm I'm talking to her, and I'm like, oh, you go, like, friend me on Facebook. Well, you know, maybe, you know, we'll go hang out or something. I'll take you to a show.
She's in
like,
person.
Yeah. In a real thing, not at the Christmas dinner table.
Yeah.
And she told me that Facebook is for grandmas. That's what she.
Yes,
that's what she looked me in the eyes and not even a deadpan. It was just.
That's what Facebook. Yeah. All these things are weird because we were just talking about how like I'm like I'm on Twitter. I'm over 40. How good can that be? Your business model is all wrong.
Now it's the snappity chats.
They'll get a little older. They'll be 19 and they'll be like, "What are we doing here?"
Right. They'll be still using Snapchat and then they'll have a cousin tell them their grandmas. Yeah. Like I'm, you know, I thought I was still cool. But Facebook is definitely
it's on the older side.
Yeah, it feels that way. Yeah, and it also just feels like that, you know, it's just kind of like Twitter, too. It's just like yelling into an empty hallway, like, no one's hearing what I'm saying.
I do that at home, and I like doing it online. Because I'm old.
Yeah. Right.
Get off my lawn.
That's it. That's
you
it.
Know?
Yeah.
Sweet. But I hijacked that.
No. Thank you. Yeah, and it's like, you know, I mean, at the beginning, we got into it to play. And, and that's what we've stuck with. That doesn't mean that we're anti or against all those platforms. Unfortunately, in this day and age, you have to have it.
Do you guys have it? I only know you through you and through your albums.
Yes.
I've seen your website, but I haven't really checked out your other online.
Yeah, we're on the social media platforms.
I think
platforms.
You guys are on Twitter.
We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook.
It's real weird. It's one of those things. You won't check it unless you like want to. You know, like you're a new fan and you'll go see it. And then, like, if you don't have all those things, then you'd be like, oh, that's not a real band. Otherwise, like, if you know us, you won't really need to go to our Facebook.
So it's kind of like they're just checking you out. Like, okay, they're on Twitter. They're on this. They're on that.
Yeah.
They're legit.
Maybe there's another cinema out there.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I mean, it's kind of weird because it keeps on going in these waves where, like, at first, okay, a while, long, long time ago, there was the whole MySpace thing. And then bands were finding a way to kind of
the great grandmas.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was good for music, though, right?
Totally. But then from MySpace, the Facebook thing. And then it's like, oh, how far can you take Facebook? Then Facebook realizes, oh, okay, well, the band pages, if they're not going to communicate like the regular pages, so they're going to have to pay to get into feeds. That was sometime around like 2012 maybe, when if we got a review on our record, we were going to have to spend a few dollars on Facebook to advertise the post. This is going back to 2012, and we had traction then.
Oh, you didn't know about the advertisements.
The advertising of the post.
I had already left .com world.
Gotcha. Over the last 5 years, I would say the what they've turned it into is a total shell game where even if you do advertise a post, it's only going to be the same handful of people that see it. There isn't real traction for a band
It wasn't
page.
Like that before. I was in two, and Obama won, I was working in tech, and it was a completely different game. You could get real traction without spending a lot of money.
Now,
that's not the case.
No. Yeah, now we've gone all the way around, you know, to the point where it's almost like we look at to spend money on advertising on Facebook, that have to be something we really want to have people see. You know, it's to have every single post need to be promoted. Then you start to say, maybe this platform is totally bogus because I and my cousin are probably the only people who always check our band's page. Wake up, everybody in a band, you're the only one looking at your page. So, unless you're Pearl Jam or Alice Cooper or some major name.
How many times do you go to Pearl Jam's Facebook page?
Exactly.
Did you ever go there and like click like?
Never. Maybe Red Hot Chili Peppers. Maybe.
And these are only, I'm throwing out dinosaur huge names from 25 or 40 years ago.
Yeah, what would you there for to find out when they're touring?
If it's wheelchair acceptable.
At best. But it wouldn't be actually a place that you're actually finding new music. I mean, people use their Facebook browser almost as a Google, so it is good to have a Facebook for your band because they want to be able to find you through that.
I follow you guys, but I've never seen your shit come up in my feed.
Yeah, exactly.
So, we're not paid enough. Yeah. I mean, if we paid some more, you know, we'd
I gotta go there specifically.
Yeah, exactly. And who's waking up specifically and say, oh, I gotta check out CinemaSins.
Yeah, what Facebook?
What are those guys?
What are they up to
today?
You know, and then Instagram is this other weird exchange where you can pay for your posts there too if you want. We just, I mean, give me a break.
That. Yeah, that's
you know, I mean, and people are going on there probably for ass and titties and cocks and balls or whatever, you know, nice pecs. You know, and we're a band. You can't hear us on Instagram. Yeah. What the fuck's the point? I mean, he looks well. He's looking good. The moisturizer's working.
Okay, yeah,
and me, I mean, for a 56-year-old man, I am holding up. Yeah. But no one is saying, yo, those sex bots in cinema, I gotta look at them. Instagram is for whacking it or rubbing it. You know, I mean, it's for some
I just can't find myself ever in the mood to just be like, yo, here I am. Bah! Like, I just...
What's good?
I'm gonna take a selfie of myself.
Yo, tour 2018!
They just did... listeners, they just did the best imitation of people taking selfies.
Yeah, what's good?
Like, what goes through your mind? I mean, you have to do that.
Why am I doing
that? We were just talking about... I like Instagram because sometimes...
I'm opening M&M's. This happened.
I take a picture of something I like. Yeah. A volcano. The surf. Yeah. That's it. That's what I see mostly in my
It's your own personal foot.
But I'm not
journal.
Really going on there to discover music.
No.
Yeah.
It being a visual medium.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the biggest problem with the whole social media thing is like it's become like when I was a little kid, if you heard something you liked, you started to look in a little more and there was a mystique. You didn't know who made it, so you went and you found out the band and you found out these details and there was an attraction.
There was effort, though.
Yeah, there was effort.
Sometimes bands try to hide from you, like cool bands, and you'd have to try to ferret it out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And figure out where they're going to be playing.
Well, they're trying to take a little bit of that mystique that used to be there. Now the mystique is gone. The last thing you do is hear it. The first thing I do is find out where they're from, size of their dick, what size shoe they wear, how many people have they dated, who are they with.
How many friends do they have online?
Yeah, wait, they have 5,000 fans? No, that's... they have 11,000 fans? Oh, okay. Well, how many of these fans are fake? You start going through them and you see all of these people from Tunisia, then you know they bought their likes. You know, and it's just like, why am... Wow. Now I'm killing time away from my life. Like, that's the reason why social media doesn't work for music, because social media is a time kill and music is a medicine. Wake up, musicians! Take your time kill energy and spend it on time kill time. But if you're gonna make music, that's medicine for people. They rely on it on Monday morning when shit sucks and on Friday night when shit is great. They rely on you to create it. So get your fucking ass off your selfie machine and make something real that resonates.
You heard it here,
bitch.
We got the four R's.
What's the four R's? Rehearse, record, rinse, or repeat.
209 West 40th Street. Hashtag Bump Like NYC.
Just sorry if you weren't sure. No, there's nothing wrong with that.
I just went crazy.
That's the thing, though, isn't it? Like, we all want to have an experience, and social media is trying to recreate experiences that we always could have had anyway.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, I think about one of my favorite bands, which over the years has, like, blown up, which is huge, which is Radiohead. Oh. You go to their website, there's nothing there. Same thing with Bjork, another one of my... Nothing. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, thanks for coming to my website. Here's where I'm playing.
Yeah, and that's it.
Here's the album.
Yeah.
You want to know about us? I don't know, read the trades? I don't know.
Yeah. It's all backwards. It's all this information.
I just want
details
the music.
You don't want.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But then also, it's the backlog of it is that, you know, we're made to feel that we have to provide content as a band. So,
well, that's the music part. I don't want anything else from you guys, not to be rude.
No, I agree. But I feel like with all the different social medias that you're like expected to have. I mean, I know this personally because I was doing a radio show for 18 months.
And he's legitimately a younger person, people.
slightly younger, yeah. I got called.
He's entering the last year of his 20s.
Oh, really? Okay.
29 tomorrow.
Well, he's actually still a young person.
Yeah, well.
29 tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yes. December 30th is my birthday.
Oh. So happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you. So I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good.
For now.
For now.
But you were in the social media loop for your radio show. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. So just like if I was trying to find a band that I was wanting to interview, the way I found them was going through social media and checking out all their stuff. And conversations I've had was like, I don't think we can get that band because they have too many likes. Or this band doesn't post enough, so I don't know if they're even really active. So that's just me.
What about the music?
Right, the music was good. I would always listen to music too. Okay. Like the music was what would lead me.
But that piece also figures into
right
it.
To like oh. how it would help. And I don't want to sound like yeah. a whole bag, but you know
who does
nobody.
Yeah,
especially me. Right, I don't want to feel like a whole bag by saying, you know. Oh, they didn't have enough likes. But, you know, I want them to help me get my word out there, too. I don't want to waste my time, necessarily. And that's just coming from the perspective of someone who was trying to book guests for a show.
I mean, look at us.
But that's what not to cut you off, but that's what promoters also use the social media numbers as well.
To figure it out.
Because that's the easiest, quickest thing to check. Mm-hmm. You know, when you hear the band, sometimes they might even listen to the band. I mean, I know that... There's been things you apply
that's
to play
scary.
A show, and they ask you what's your social media imprint, you know, and they ask you for all the breakdown, all that shit.
Especially for I guess bands that are coming up now or starting now, if they're even bothering to start now. I think that
everyone's already started. Yeah. Everyone comes out the gate, formed, ready to go.
Exactly. Because the thing that you can do is you could learn how to master social media on your phone before you learn how to play an A minor chord.
Yeah.
And you can
figure that out on the road, I guess.
Yeah, you figure that out the rest on the road. So
that's secondary.
How to play.
And the crowd doesn't know what to expect or what is even good. Mm-hmm. So you can fool a lot of the people
Greg told me they don't expect much.
About one band, they had a hit single, and it was a big thing for them, and people wanted them to tour. But then they were like, look, we only have 20 minutes of material.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, really. They were like, we weren't ready for this. Like, we put this thing out there. Yeah. They weren't trying to, like, game the system or jump ahead. They were just like, this is what we had. So then they were forced to go on tour.
Uh-oh.
And they had to find other acts to, like, because they were like, they will come out and do their 20 minutes, but they were like, that's really all we can...
Yeah.
Can do. Like we weren't ready.
The focus for bands has been shifted, and then the marketplace has been entirely changed by the people who make money at the top. So that's why it's in such a tailspin, and that also feeds back into like the whole theme of the album of like, hey, we're still here. You didn't kill us, because there isn't really any platform that's sustainable. I mean, Paul and I were in a scenario a couple years ago where we quit our jobs to do a long, very well-paid and professional tour, et cetera, et cetera.
We'll put a link to that. You can go back and hear them talk about that.
That was the Black Flag tour.
I
had a business trip, and I scheduled my trip around the tour so I could see
you in
Tennessee.
She was business in the front, party in the back.
Yeah. That was awesome. That was a highlight.
I remember that very clearly. But I'm just saying, like, we were just...
Hey, you know it in the house.
Yeah. Just imagine us how cool we felt, like, having a fan come to see us at a Black Flag show.
Yeah.
Like, hey, guys, see you.
She's here for us.
But the thing that was interesting standing there in the audience was people who came to see Black Flag and enjoy the show. And when you guys started playing... They started looking at each other wide-eyed and nodding their heads like, and they got totally into it. So that live music, that live performance, they were just...
the skepticism of people in an audience. Like, as a performer, I never understand that. Because I do shows a lot where there's a variety of performers, and there's always a couple people that come out and the audience is like, I'm like, give them a chance.
Yeah.
Give her a chance. Like, you don't even know what she's going to do.
This was a special kind of audience. The Black Flag fan audience is a different breed.
I Black Flag.
Yeah.
I don't know what the audience is now.
I think the setup, and I'm glad that you mentioned that, Katie, and it was one of the really big takeaways of the whole tour of all the connections and all the great things that happened and people we met and other gigs that were begotten because of the tour, etc. I think the real learning thing was going into the tour as an opening act that for many parts of the country, although we had been a band there six or seven years at that point, many parts of the country we hadn't been to yet.
Tennessee people.
There you go. going into it as an opening act for a world-renowned band who was on their like second reunion tour that had some controversy surrounding it. So people are coming in like, who's this opening band? Two guys from Brooklyn? Yeah. Okay. And then we play like we're going to die tonight.
Yeah.
We play like we want to die tonight.
What do they think will be opening for Black Flag?
I guess they assume some band that sucked, but they got something different.
It's such a weird... I think a lot of bands would want to be there.
It was such a great thing to watch, the sea of faces. Change and
people like, all right, we'll take it.
You know, this is great. I was like, wow, I wish I could film this somehow.
I'm so glad to get that committed as part of this. Although, hopefully, you guys don't snip that part out. But because for us on our side, we went in the very beginning of the tour. The first night was in Midland, Texas.
Anyone yell anything out?
We said to ourselves, and it was a kind of, and it was like, if I remember right, the stage had a little bit of a Blues Brothers kind of vibe where there was like partial of a coverage of like a gate in front of us.
There was slight protection.
Yeah, there was some slight protection. The first night of that tour, and Paul and I before
like, wear running shoes.
Yeah, Paul and I before the show, we said, you know, there's a good chance that like no one at any of these shows is going to be into this, but fuck it, we're going to give them what we give them. And from that first night, we went on. Yeah,
I mean literally nothing. Yeah. Else. I mean this is what we got. Guys.
Yeah, this is it.
We're standards.
Yeah, but we went on to Skeptical Faces that first night and most nights that followed. And by the middle of the first song or by the end of the first song, we had the crowd. We were warming them up and we were getting them excited for being there. And they also were forgetting that they were there just for the Black Flag tour because they were in the moment. See, that's what we do. That's what we work really hard on. Mm-hmm. Ourselves, the two of us, get into the moment when we play. So you can choose to let go of the thoughts and be in the moment with us or not.
Yeah.
But we don't do this kind of like at the end of the song, we stop and clap and I engage you like, oh, hello, how are you all doing
tonight?
And then
warm up.
Like, yeah,
warm
we're in it and we're going.
Get
so
the crowd and moving.
It's performers.
Yeah.
Performers. They're not.
I like
so they're
that.
Like,
I like when people
better.
Just get on the stage and just start.
Come on.
I don't, how are you doing? I don't give a shit. Let's go.
Yeah.
Chords.
My least favorite thing about like when any band plays is when the singer... I've seen a lot of bands, and when the singer or whatever, like, he'll literally say, "I don't know what to say while I'm tuning," like while you're trying, you're like literally saying you don't have anything to say.
Don't say anything.
Just don't say anything. Just
no one's gonna care. We're just milling around until you said some shit.
Exactly.
You're
we were having
inviting...
a conversation about what we were gonna do later today, and now you're talking about. You're tuning.
Yeah, but so much of it takes the experience of learning on stage, and so many bands aren't really going out and getting that experience, or maybe some bands haven't been blessed enough to get the experience, as it does take some sacrifice to kind of go out there and do it as much. But Paul and I, over the almost 500 shows over the last 10 years, we've learned what works, what doesn't work. And you figure out what works by having people like, walk out by having people like nah, and then by having people also go crazy and love it. You know, you kind of figure out what works as you go. And the thing that's most important is that once you find the face that belongs on the head of the body that you're building, you stick with that face. You don't change that face. Yeah. You don't make a new face for whatever crowd's there because it's never gonna kind of catch
hold.
And
if it's good, it doesn't really matter what the genre is. That's what I found. Mm-hmm. As someone who like when I go to see live stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When the opening band comes on, like I said, I'm a huge fan of Bjork. Bjork might bring anybody on.
Yeah.
You know, she might bring on like 8 women with spoons.
Yeah.
And it's just like, let's just barefoot. Let's just see what happens.
Yeah.
And then you have to trust that these are artists who know what they're doing. Just get into it.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Entirely.
How do you guys evaluate the crowd afterwards?
Yeah,
like,
how do
for
you
instance,
read them?
For like, for comics, so you're on stage, you're performing, and then you're like, afterwards, you're like, oh, they were a good audience. Oh, they were bad. You know, like...
I can say that I know a good audience is the ones that they actually are listening. And I know that they're listening because they're not trying to clap in between when they think a song's over. You know? This has happened many times.
I would never think of that.
Yeah, when they're... Because we don't stop, right? And then we're
that's
on.
That's part of our act is we don't stop in between
If you
songs.
People see this, it's like, drink water beforehand, get ready.
Yeah, and it's just
there's
like...
there's not going to be a break.
You know, we don't say... So, there was a time period where we were like, oh, we're just going to do one long song. Like, maybe you would say that once or twice.
Yeah.
But, you know, we don't really announce, like, this is the suite that we're performing tonight. Please do not clap until we have...
Hold your applause.
Japanese style. Exactly. We're recording this.
No, but and it's happened more often, especially in the last, I would say, you know, 4 or 5 years that and definitely early on, people would clap in between and not know what the fuck's going on. Oh, these guys don't stop. What's going on? What?
They
don't
care.
Stop. What, how, is that one song? What?
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, it is kind of one song. And there's been, in the last half of our career, you know, people just listen. And at the end, they wait for literally the last note to kind of die down, and then it's a, you know, the eruption of
I like
applause.
That. Yeah. Oh, come on, though. Yeah. That's like... That's,
he just, you know what? Yeah. I wasn't sure where he was going, and he just nailed it. Because I wanted to, of course, I wanted to cut him off.
That's what you want, though, right? Yeah. You want people at the end to be like...
What he just said was, that was the barometer, too, I think, at this point, exactly. I didn't know how he was going to explain what a good audience is, just because it's nice to have anyone be there. But it's the audiences that now, at this point, with we do what we do, and we've got them to the point that they will actually understand that they're waiting until the very end, and the last note has its own fade and finale, and then we get a bunch of applause, and I think, wow, they really got it.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that there's a good audience around. I'm just saying, like, for me... What I get excited about is that at the end, like, you know, we gave as much as we could, and there was just total attention. And I could, you know, most of my time, my eyes are closed. I'm not covering my hands while I'm playing. I'm closing my eyes, and you know, I'm like playing, and I'm not paying attention to anything. And you know, there was times early on where you would hear them try to interrupt with a clap.
Yeah.
You know, and it was
like,
kind of
shush.
Yeah, and it was kind of funny. I mean, I thought it was, you know, I don't know.
I'm working.
Tricked you.
Yeah, yeah. And,
don't really stop moving us up.
Yeah. But that is that doesn't really happen as much anymore. So I don't know if it's a combination of we're getting better as performers of kind of getting that message across without really saying, hey, this is what we're doing. We're just with the way we perform. It's like the whole thing is a performance. There is no tuning in between, and even if you're tuning, it becomes part of the song.
Well, you're
and
on
I'll,
stage,
and I'll, yeah. yeah, and I'll play
so
a beat
working,
to your tuning.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah,
you're performing.
Exactly.
You're out there.
Yeah, we had actually in Hamburg in May, specifically this instance occurred where halfway through the set, I popped a string, and we generally, as Paul was kind of getting at, and if you haven't seen us or heard us or experienced us live. We start, and then we kind of weave all of the pieces that we play all together. There isn't really an absolute moment of total silence during the show. So that's what we were talking about, how we don't stop. So that explains that a bit. So essentially, when you pop a string, you kind of have to stop and change the string if you're going to progress, unless you have another guitar there on a stand. I'm in Hamburg, Germany. I have one guitar with me. And I have, you know,
is that fair off the side?
No. So, but what we turned it into in that moment, with the pop string, with just the 5 strings, with the madness and the noise and all the delay pedals and everything going, and Paul kind of like paying attention, because we pay attention to each other, and listening to each other is what I think really propels what we do entirely, is that he's very tuned into me, and I'm tuned into him, and we're intuitive to each other. But Paul, seeing that all of a sudden, okay, Ev is in distress. He's down a string. And we're going to do something, but we don't know what yet. And ultimately, Paul starts going to a little bit of a tribalish kind of quiet beat, and I did a loop.
It's in my repertoire.
Yeah. I set up a loop of some sort of like, you know, dissonant, funky kind of a bass thing happening with a little up and down bass, and then none, and then some. So it's a little bit like, basically we dropped Hook in the Water. And like, it's like, now we're not doing a song, now we're not even doing a jam. I just made a loop, and he's playing some beat to it, and I am now taking a broken string off and putting a new string in while I start to sing.
Crap.
I don't say, oh, hey, so... popped a string, but hang out. No, we have a new song happening.
Yeah.
And I start to just sing and hum whatever's appropriate with the loop that I have going with Paul's drums as I'm tuning and putting a new string on. At the end of that show, almost every audience member that came over to the merch table, which in Germany or in Europe, they all come over at the end and buy your merch. Which
so or at least to say hi,
art.
Or just to
yes.
say they love
so they support
their,
you.
Yeah, yeah. No, exactly. Great. To support the arts and to make it clear that this was an interaction that they have something to say about as well. So everyone who came to the table remarked about. And by the time we got to the table, the merch table, we had both forgotten that there was ever a string pop thing that happened. And everyone just remarked, we've never seen someone change the string while breaking it and popping it and making it a song. And it was just something that no one had seen.
It was the concert when they changed the strings.
Yeah, exactly.
In Germany.
It's those shared experiences that are the ones that I think we take away as like, okay, we played a part in tonight. You know, yeah. So.
But that's, you know, that's an artist who handles a situation like that like a true pro. And I tell you, it totally reminded me, and I hate to bring it up, but Ashley Simpson, when she was on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah.
And then
well.
The thing it messed up, whatever, her
lip sync track, a vocal track.
Yeah. Mm. And so how she handled it, she did a little dance off stage and didn't come out of her dressing room.
Yeah.
And I was like, that girl had so much handed to her, and she's not a pro. She's not ready for a stage like this.
Yeah.
Not ready for anything.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It was
just rolled.
It was such
yeah.
an
peace.
She could have gone into Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Yeah.
She could have done anything.
She could have done anything.
As a true performer, as a true
whatever.
Artist.
Yeah, soft shoe.
You take that, whatever's going on, and turn it into the art. What do
right.
they say? Like the master weaver weaves in...
Into something.
Yeah.
Well, we're all like, yeah, that.
Yes,
that's
that.
Of
course.
Say.
I learned that in college. Well, yeah.
That master weaver.
With the looms.
Well, you with the looms.
With the wool. And
I think the main thing the Crochet. Master weaver always needs to recognize is that vulnerability... should not be foregone in the name of I'm on stage right now. It should be one of the things that's
it's
a main
fun.
Element.
Yeah,
you know,
anything
like,
can happen on
yeah.
stage.
And that human quality.
Anything can happen.
And you have to cut your teeth. You can't just hit the ground running. You know, like especially if you want to be a live performing band. We've been doing this for 10 years, and when we first started, we didn't know what we were doing. We played together for a month, and we played a show.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
And we thought we were great.
and we've gone back to the YouTube footage, which we've since deleted, and maybe we
not great.
Maybe we were something not great.
Not
yes.
the best.
That's the problem with YouTube, though. Like a lot of artists are saying that you don't, you know, when everything can be captured and reshown
yeah.
a million times, you don't have the opportunity to be vulnerable,
mm-hmm.
to
True.
Not be so amazing, to
mm-hmm.
work. It out
mm-hmm.
on stage. Everyone's seen it. Everyone's
yeah.
seen
yeah.
know,
well,
everything that you do.
That's one thing. My question almost as like you know. I know that you've done stand up for a long time.
And I'm still doing it.
You know, and you guys,
in the game.
You guys, obviously, we are two musicians on a comedy podcast right now. So it's two like you know two worlds meet. But one thing that I wonder for the comedian,
mm-hmm.
Just because on our side of the fence, we almost kind of think like eventually people won't leave their little pod. They'll enjoy everything in a virtual reality. So bands' tours will just be something that they watch. So that,
mm-hmm.
that's one thing, and that kind of lends itself to the idea of like everything's captured on of the YouTube footage. But this is what I was wondering, like for a comedian, like you guys have your jokes that work.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of have your act, and I'm sure there's some improv involved, but what happens if you get your act down and someone YouTubes your act and puts your act on YouTube, and then it's like your jokes and your punchlines are known. So then is your act still funny?
It doesn't even get that far. You said someone else puts it on. What ends up happening is you put it on because of the pressure that you feel to have stuff up there.
Gotcha.
And then you realize that it's gone. So
yeah.
you constantly have to be working on new material. So in the
gotcha.
Past, someone like a Lenny Bruce could work on a 45-minute piece for
yeah.
a long time and do that piece all over the place.
And it's always new. It's
doing
always
it.
A surprise
yeah.
to the audience.
Yeah.
That's one of the elements that's
lost.
You know,
so
you're not going to go back and listen to your favorite comics. I mean, some of them, yes.
Yeah. Some of them,
but,
yeah, but...
But it's not the same as music where you're going to go back and listen
and
over and over
by
and over.
The time
yeah.
that you hear your favorite comic's piece may not be when she or he is at the top of their game. Because it can take years to work on a single joke
yeah.
to get it perfect.
The time.
The
yeah,
way
yeah.
that it has to be done.
Yeah.
But if you've heard it a million times already,
yeah,
it's kind of lost.
Yeah.
I mean, I try to, when I do comedy now, I do 50% material that I've worked on and then 50% like what's going on in the room.
Gotcha.
Because otherwise it becomes like a static thing where someone could have seen it already. But
gotcha.
This way, it's like I'm doing it here tonight in Brooklyn
yeah.
for this audience
It'll
and
be
putting
different.
This
yeah.
spin on
yeah.
it.
Yeah. That's
this
cool.
is what happened today and this is how this changes what I'm going to do.
That's great that you have
you
that
know?
Room work involved.
You have to.
For what we do, I mean, and again, it's different mediums, but there's a lot of improv. The reason why our set is one long suite that we, you know, ravel
so
and unravel together.
So you guys are improvising it up there?
In between. Well,
sometimes.
we have the song structures. We have the songs that we decide we're going to play. And then the connecting the dots of the songs so there isn't a pause.
Mm-hmm.
That's improv. The way we'll end a song will kind of lead us to the bridge we have to take to get down to the point where we're going to start the next song.
So you kind of have that figured out.
So ultimately, sometimes when, if somebody captures us on YouTube, I'll almost be a little bit excited at least to watch it once, because I always feel kind of icky re-watching yourself. You know, it always feels great.
Nobody wants
great.
To see themselves.
Exactly.
Unless you don't have a monster.
Yeah. But it's just like sometimes someone will catch us on YouTube and they'll throw something up and I'll see it and I'll be like, oh, wow, we did that there, because we have a lot of improv in our set. So... But for us, like I said, musically, it seems just different than from a comedian who hones their material. Then
well,
once the material is used...
Katie does improv, and that's a whole different...
Oh, that's
it's one time and one time only.
The show's over.
So
that's
it.
Yeah, so
I like
you better be
that
good, and
yeah.
you better be good right now,
yeah.
in
mm-hmm.
the moment.
Yeah.
Or I'd like to do completely scripted, like a play. And that's something, and that's tested material. So.
But the improv is great because, as an audience member, it's like no one else is ever going to see this ever again.
That's insane.
That's it. It's here. It happened right now in the moment. So anything that came from the audience or the performers, that's it. Never going to happen again. It's over.
It's a unique article.
You know? But then you have to have an incredible amount of skill, because then night after night, you have to go out there and create that.
And try not to think of the thing you did last night.
Yeah,
forget about it.
Through years of horrible and mediocre to get to a point where you're watchable.
Yeah.
And then once you're watchable, then you have to get better. And you have to get better.
It's the same thing with music. It really is.
And it's the same. And as a live performer, your ego takes a beating.
Yeah.
Totally. As a live performer.
Unless you're dumb and you think you're great.
Yeah.
if you got the stupid confidence where you think, oh my God, we're the best.
I'm killing it.
I'm killing it right now.
Ignorance can be bliss.
No, but we're pretty good. We're pretty good. You know, we got better. We didn't even know. It's like when you get some power and you don't even know how to harness it, and then it just kind of grows. And I think, to kind of circle back to the original question, which was, why do we keep doing this, and we've done 500 shows, like, why do that?
Well, it must be like crack. I'm thinking
that's kind of what it is. Huffing crack, huffing
little hubbus.
Isn't it the drive, like, I did this and I know I can be better, and I'm gonna get up again, and I'm gonna do it again, and I'm gonna get better.
So I want to ask, what is the weirdest gig you guys have done? So not bad, just weird. Like,
well,
you show up and you're like,
I know,
let's
I know
see
what
how
my
this...
mind goes to
Where does
your mind go to?
Where does your mind?
You're
going with his mind right now.
My mind is on a mountain.
Because of a lot of
in
the Pacific.
No, it's northern Italy.
Oh my God, that one?
Yeah.
You guys,
Italy show.
Holy crap! What happened?
That's not where I was gonna go.
That's not where you were going, huh?
Let the man speak.
Okay. Well, this was not only it was a nice day. It was a coldish, but not too cold. Like the AC was on outside, kind of day.
Okay.
And it was the day before Ev's birthday.
Oh.
And Ev is very into his birthday. He's
when
a Leo.
When is his birthday? Oh,
he's
I was going to say.
Yes.
When is it? What's your birthday?
August 22nd.
August 22nd, and you are December 30th.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow.
So Capricorn and a Leo.
Yes.
All right.
Good luck.
Yeah. He's born in 88. I'm born in 78.
Okay. Again.
Yeah.
Luck.
It's not been easy. No, but it has at the same time. It's
there
a
are
weird
certain
thing.
Things
yeah,
those two sides
can
agree on, and then other things you're like, what?
No. Yeah, we work together well as a team.
Yes,
we found a common footing. But let me let you get back to the Italy story.
It was a cold day.
It was
AC
a cold
outside.
It was a cold day, although it was August.
Yes.
Cold because we were playing a festival on top of a mountain that was 15,000 feet high.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
As you do. Best place to be with acoustics.
You do. Yeah.
And singing. Up high.
The breathing and the mind.
Yeah.
And the lack of gear when we got to the...
The getting there was the real part. So did we drive through the night that night? Or
we did a monster drive. The drive from Vienna, Austria to the northern part of Italy was supposed to be only, I think, 5.5 hours, but we drove directly into summertime festival traffic.
Yeah.
And it turned into... I think we drove 7 hours before we got to the mountain.
Right.
And then we got to the mouth of the mountain and we said, oh my God. And then the road became gravel.
Yeah.
And we were driving straight up and around.
For like 90 minutes.
We were praying. We started to pray.
Prayer happened.
And at this point, the guarantee in Ruples and De Niro and Euro, whatever, that was not worth our prayers.
Pesci,
what we
De
were
Niro,
making.
All these things.
Whatever they were, the soup, and we would think we're going to get.
Pacino's, we're doing nothing.
Yeah. We get to the top of the mountain and we think they're going to give us soup with the clams. They offer us goat. Okay, and I'm a vegetarian.
Yeah, you don't know what part of Italy you were in there. Yeah.
No, this was basically the
San Leandro. That's where we were, and
it was basically the most German part of Italy.
The most northern.
We keep it real.
Really, yeah,
we
didn't go far down. Really, it wasn't down into the
boots. You're calling it Italy.
Yeah,
but we are over the border.
Yeah,
but if I spit, it's Germany. Pretty much.
So
it's like
everyone is speaking German.
Yeah, I was shocked by that. I thought I'm gonna get some cacio e pepe.
Yeah,
no. I'm gonna get a nice fra diablo or some shit.
They're like, here's a Grolsch gun on my face.
Ravioli.
And none of that.
None of that.
And you're late.
I
got like a matzo ball soup or something. I don't even know what. I was so done.
To jump in and put a cap on this, because this probably is the weirdest, oddest gig scenario, though it wasn't what I was going to say, but we do this insane drive. We get to this mountain. We drive straight up the mountain. We get to the top. It's a very small festival at the top of a mountain. Okay, wow. We're there. We show up. We find out that there's a lack of gear. One of the bands that was supposed to supply a certain amount of gear didn't bring the gear.
By gear
meaning like...
No gear.
Yeah, meaning drums and amplifiers and all the things that are needed to play. So,
because you don't travel with your stuff, obviously.
I bring my cymbals and my snare drum, which is enough to have to carry.
And you have
in Europe, I have my guitar and my effects pedals. So, ultimately...
No, those are kind of essential.
Yeah. So, okay. Ultimately, they cobble together what could only be called
a nightmare.
A nightmare was cobbled. The drum set that he had was not a drum set.
It was like
by
a Flintstone version.
It was more or less.
Yeah. It was you know, like the guys in the subways that play the Home
buckets?
Depot buckets.
Okay. Yeah.
Worse than that. Less.
That would have been a gift.
Less than that. I would have welcomed that.
Oh, right. Bucket.
Yeah. It was some kind of upside down trash can that was mounted on legs.
Were they serious with this? Yeah, they were serious. And
I'm serious.
That's your problem.
Figure it out, a-hole.
They're like,
you guys
are the guys from New York. You could do it, right? Yeah. We're like, you know what? We can do it. Watch. So then,
I learned.
Yeah, he's setting up what could only be described as literally garbage pails. I'm plugging in my entire rig setup into someone's computer that then has some sort
like
of
into a sap tree, into a tree on the like you're using the sap to power. Like it was like I don't know how we didn't
but
start
the,
an electrical
the
fire.
Kicker is this, and
flip phone was involved.
The kicker is this. We get all the instruments set up. And then what happened was the band before us had broken the only microphone stand.
Because they were hard as fuck.
So what happens is we have our tour manager. He comes over.
He's crying at this point.
He's weeping for us. We're weeping.
And this is the man that drove up the mountain for 95 minutes.
No.
Yes.
Kind of a break.
Yes.
No.
He gets duct tape from the organizer.
Nice.
And
I'm with it.
We take the microphone.
We put the microphone
onto my face like this, so that like the ball of the microphone is right here, and the actual part you'd hold goes to here,
down the neck, right into the shoulder.
And then we wrapped the microphone cord around
comedy territory, over and over,
and then we duct taped the microphone onto me, and we did our set, and it turned into my birthday, and with all that adversity, it wound up being amazing. These kids flipped out. They didn't want us to stop playing. I don't even know how we started playing.
It's the concert with the guy, the thing taped to his
exactly.
face.
Exactly.
They're still talking about it up in San Leonardo.
Yes. There still is a legend.
It's the same guy
of
who
the
later
two men
fixed the string on stage.
Who
these
came
guys
from a safar without much means.
Except nobody sounded like that because we were in Germany.
They were German.
They said it quickly and efficiently.
Just to tie in perfect English.
I do not know how they did it. They took the microphone and they taped it to his body. And he sang.
They were so good. Good. Anyway, tie a little bow on that. Not only did we make it through that gig and we ate the goat and all those things, at the end of the night, this is you know, it's Eb's birthday. It's midnight, Eb's birthday's happening. All these
people, it's happening for real.
They just want to party and
it's German.
Get drunk, right?
Yeah.
And it was great. I was partying. Ev doesn't party as much. I do his
I'm
party.
Just naturally happy. I, yeah. You know, but everyone
like, I don't
was
need
like,
the goat or whatever else.
Yeah. So they bring out a fucking birthday cake.
Yeah.
For you.
I get a birthday cake. Shocking.
I think it was Andreas, our tour manager.
He was like, I got it. I got a sandwich of this.
Yeah. I gave you CDs from my home that I thought you would enjoy on the road trip.
Yes. Very nice.
And
but yeah, there is a climax. Now, what happens is, everything's finished, the gig went well, everyone's partying, they give me the birthday cake, holy crap, we're in a mountain in Italy, we made it happen. Now it's time to sleep, because we
no,
have
no,
to
no,
drive.
You're forgetting one thing, King.
Nah.
A baby calf.
Yeah.
Oh, you're remembering.
Oh, no. I was getting to where we slept, but go ahead.
Oh, no, the baby calf was born on his birthday.
Yes.
On the cake.
Onto the cake, it was placenta everywhere.
The reason
they named it Ev.
They named it Ev.
They named it Ev. There's a calf in Italy.
And
named
then
Ev.
We were
there
shown.
Was.
It's probably dead now.
But the point of
it
tying it in is
it on the
we were shown our sleeping quarters after the birthing of the calf, and the sleeping quarters were the same barn that the calf was born in.
Yeah, we were
as
above,
we were walked to a ladder that led to a small landing above. The cows,
how, like,
the chickens.
As we continue this, how is this
How
not,
is this true?
No, no, but
this
how did you bullshit. Not immediately go to this as the craziest gig? What is your...
I don't know, but we ran out of time.
Next time
on Hey You Know. So if people are looking to find out more information about you guys, and I know they are, where can they avail themselves of this?
No, you could find us at cinemacinemaband.com. So you can avoid all the social media stuff, because you can find all the social media links there.
Yeah.
CinemaCinemaBand.com. You can find everything right there, the tour dates, the everything. There's
tours coming up?
We are going to be going back to Europe in the spring.
Okay.
We're going to have a release coming out on Record Store Day in
Yay!
April.
Yes.
That's going to be followed with some dates around here before we go to Europe. We have some dates coming up also in February. We have a show in Brooklyn at The Well in Bushwick on February 23rd. And
That's
we have a
Black
show.
History show, right?
That is a
okay.
Black History
a called Death
show. Oh, yeah! That would be really cool.
Yeah.
That is really awesome.
Yeah.
You can have that one.
And the week before, on February 17th, we're playing in Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Pittsfield, Mass.
At Pancho's.
All right, well,
oh, my God, we'll be there. If you have a chance, go see this guy
live. Yeah, we'll try to see you guys, too.
Oh, my God.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Yes,
Our
thank you
pleasure.
So much.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.
They can go to www.... /... slickricksdickpic, right?
Okay.
Was that, you have to log in.
Okay.
There's a login, and then there's a short jog to the left.
Right.
You want to jog down the steps.
Okay.
Then you're going to restart your computer.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry, that was so lame.
I was getting
ready to malware.
Know,
like,
yeah.
I was going to say, you're going to have to, like, install malware.
With FLAC. Yeah. You want your MP3 to have FLAC.
Yeah.
FLAC. I don't even know what that is.
I'll
sorry.
Take it.
Anyway.